Amen. Good evening to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. How's everybody doing? You have a good nap? Yeah, good eats, good food, good, wonderful. Wasn't it a blessed day? The Lord, it rained a little bit earlier on us and kind of wet things up a little, and it stopped just about time to get for us to get out of worship service this morning. We had a grand time this morning with all the family together, and everything went pretty smooth. We had a Bible hour going on across the street, and I don't know how much was it, 75, 80 in Bible hour or thereabouts in Bible hour, and then we had a little overflow in our overflow room in the other building. Some of you didn't know about, and that's good, but great time in the Lord, and many of us got a chance to visit those who were sick and shut in, and share a calendar and share a beautiful treat that the Alexanders put together for us to share with those who are sick and shut in. And if you didn't take a picture, or if you took a picture and haven't emailed it in, some of you did do that. For those that allowed us to take pictures, take a picture, send it in, and so we can share those with the whole congregation a little bit later on. And we got our T-shirts today. And what's our theme for the year?
Servants.
Servants. It's on our bulletin. It's on our T-shirts. We got our calendars today. How many of you had a chance to browse through the calendar? I'm talking about looking at pictures. But I had a chance to browse through the calendar to see and look at all of the events that with the Lord's help, that we're going to be trying to accomplish this year. We got a busy year. We had a busy year this past year, and praise the Lord. And so we hope you may mark down on this coming Sunday, if the Lord says the same. We will have the opportunity to put our names on the dotted line if we have not already, as we have our ministry fair. We're encouraging our ministry leaders to have information on their table about your ministry. I have sign-up sheets where members can sign up and put their sheets, and all of the elders are going to get copies of the sign-up sheets to make sure. Now, you following up with them, but they want to make sure that everybody's being contacted, and so we're just looking forward to just having a great year in 2020, but we haven't finished 2019 yet, have we? This morning, we entitled the lesson, Servants of the Most High. Servants of the Most High. And tonight, we're entitled the lesson, A Thousand Ways to Serve God. You didn't laugh at that. Or did I say 10 ways? Oh, okay. I was just checking to see if you were listening this morning. 10 ways to serve God. I wanted to do 25, but I cut it down to 10. By no means are these the only 10 ways to serve God. We talked about the importance of serving God, the answer that Jesus gave to Satan. And Jesus told him, he told Satan that you listen. We are to worship God, and God and Him only do we serve. Jesus correlates service with our worship, and our actions, what we do for God. And so we're just gonna just start off a listen. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Everybody's all right? Everybody's all right, huh? Okay. Well, yeah, thank you. Okay. All right. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Hebrews 10, verse 24. These are not in emphasis order. This is just 10. The first one is to consistently meet with the saints. And you know, this lesson needs to be on the radio waves, on the television, for folks who don't continually gather with the saints. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And so one way we can serve God is to meet with the saints. Because God wants us to meet together and to encourage one another and to love on each other. Amen? Do we get love when we're together? Yeah, yeah, surely. I hope we get love. I hope somebody loves on us when we come together. If you know, you just can't get this kind of love on a job. Well, maybe some jobs you can, but it's not very many jobs that you should. Well, I put it, you shouldn't get more love on the job than you do with God's people. Amen. And God knows that. That's why he calls us together. God knows what we need. So one of the ways, and I know this needs to be echoed, we should have full seats all the time. Because I don't know about you, but I need some love. I need some encouragement to consistently. And so let's not forsake our assembling together. Number two, another way is to look for opportunities to do good to all. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. So then while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. And to find opportunities, we have to be looking for opportunities. And most of our opportunities don't come in this building and on Sunday mornings. Yes, we have created some opportunities today, but we serve God. Give somebody a ride when you can. Amen. You got that nice car. You got back seats that nobody ever sit in. They still look new. The carpet is new on your passenger side. Change a flat when you can for somebody. Yeah, you say, well, Gary, is that service? Yes, it is service. It's service to mankind, and it gives glory and honor to our great God. Give up your seat sometime in the Lord. This morning, I noticed how we were sitting, and there were seats there. There were not many seats open, but when we asked everybody to if you had seats next to you, I saw some people just automatically popped up and just moved up. Because you get that seat warm, you don't want to give it up. Amen, somebody. I don't know about that, but every now and then, give up your seat for somebody. Yes, as we have opportunity, let's do good. Doing good is not, God doesn't tell us what all the acts, but we know what doing good is. Yeah, we know what it means to do good. Feed somebody, yes. Volunteer when help is needed. Attend funerals. Treat people with kindness. There are all kind of ways we can find opportunity. So number two, look for opportunities to do good to all people. Yes, Brother DeCour just read in your hearing, number three, sing to the Lord. Amen. Sometimes I think we think singing is not a command of God, because sometimes people don't sing. Notice what I said. I say sometimes people don't sing to the Lord. The Lord obviously loves singing. If I had time, if I were to put every scripture in the Bible on singing, we'd be here for an hour and a half. And so we just included one in Psalms chapter 96, verse 1. I know it's in the Old Testament, but we serve the same God. And he said, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to him. Notice how many times all the verses say, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord. He repeats it. All the earth. Sing to the Lord. He bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation. And it says, from day to day. Anyway, do you ever sing songs, sing gospel songs when you're not in the Lord's house on Sunday morning? God loves singing. Yes. He loves singing. He commands us to sing in Ephesians 5:19, some singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts unto the Lord. God loves singing. And one of the ways we can serve him by singing, simply opening our mind. But does it mean you have to be able to sing like an opera singer? No, just sing to the Lord, all out of tune. Ask Brother Ray. He'll tell you what he's talking about. Sing to the Lord. Sorry about that, Brother Ray. I know you can handle that. Yes. That's number three. Be a good citizen. Be a good citizen. In Romans 13:1, every person is to be in subjection. Notice, Bible, this is instruction. If you want to, this is instruction for the Christian especially. He says, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. I know sometimes it seems like the government is bad. The government don't know what they're talking about, but God says, you obey the government. Amen. Amen. There's a way to make a change in government. And one of the main ways we don't use all the time, that's simply to go cast your vote. Amen. Amen. Yeah, and so we as children of God, we ought not to be the most rebellious people. When the police officer stop us, we need to say, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Get out your wallet, get out your registration, and don't talk bad to the policeman. Amen. That wasn't too loud. Number five, use your money to help others.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, use your money to help others. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, listen what the Bible says. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. Some of you that have all that money, use that money to help somebody. Amen. Some of us, and all of us as Christians, we are rich. And we have blessings that God has blessed us with that we should be willing to bless others with. And I know this particular text was giving instruction to those who are rich, but being rich is only relative. Amen. Because if you compare us to the individuals who are, say, in some remote areas in Africa, guess what, brother, sister, your minimum wage job, you are still rich. And there's always somebody that we can help that's who is less fortunate than we are. So we ought not to be, as Christians, we serve God, we worship God when we help other people with our money. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Number six, study the word of God. We serve and worship God when we study the word of God. In 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. When we are studying, and you know, when you are really studying, you really are by yourself. You know, I don't know about you, but I have to be locked in, quiet, you know, no noise around. And when you're not, sometimes you read the word of God. Some of you may can read with the television on, and I'm not knocking that. If you're able to do that, that's fine. But studying is a little bit deeper. And here he tells Timothy, you be diligent in the word. You study the word, and more of us as Christians. I know we read, we come to Bible class, but more of us need to. It's like God is pleased when we study His word. Yeah, and we're trying to create opportunities and make opportunities where we can help one another study the word of God more, to understand scriptures more, what the meaning of scriptures are. We have a Bible Institute, and we know it is a sacrifice to take out time on a Thursday evening to come up here for an academic class. But some of us, you know what we need? We need to be in that class. Some of us need to be in. When we get our quiet time, instead of picking up our phone and looking on Facebook for 3 hours, we need to have the word out, and we need to study the word of God, and we serve God by studying the word of God. Number seven, we need to minister to widows, orphans, and the less fortunate. In James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit. He just specifically spells it out. It's to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the word. When Jesus came here, it seems like his ministry evolved around helping the less fortunate. And you know, we don't have to look far to find somebody that's less fortunate. I think it was yesterday, a young man knocked on the door. We were yesterday. He knocked on the door, the church office, and I surely wanted to act like I didn't see him. Because it was just a couple of things. Me and KB and I were up here, and we were trying to get finished and get away from here. And he knocked on the door, and I walked by, and I started not to look his way. And I covered his eye, and I said, we closed. And he looked at me with those pitiful eyes and said, and did that. And I went to the door. I said, what you need? He said, all I need is a pen. A marker. No, he said a marker. I need a marker. And I surely wanted to tell you, we don't have a marker, but I just came in my office and two big markers sticking right up on my desk. And I said, hold up just a second. And I went and got him a red and a black marker. And I gave it to him. And I said, you can keep those. And you know what he did? He sit right down right in the doorway. He sit in the door and start writing on one of those cardboards, you know, where you're asking people for money. And I kind of went on, got, you know, finished what I was doing. I just saw him sitting there, and I went on out, and just, I said, okay, he'll get through and move on. And so that was yesterday. Well, just today, when we were coming to church, I pull up, you know, the ramp, ramp coming up to Waco Street, pull up the ramp. Some of you that come that way, you can attest to this. Guess who was on the corner? Right there on the corner. And he had his cardboard sign, and it was in black and red. And he wrote it big. It had big on there. I can't remember what the words were, but it cut me so hard. It cut me so hard that I said, KB, look. And she said, is that the guy you? I said, that's the guy I gave the markers to yesterday. And I rolled the window down, and I reached in the side of my truck. I had change, and I just grabbed a handful of change, and I gave it to him. I said, you use those markers? He said, yeah. That's all he said, yeah. And I said, well, look, I said, won't you come and visit us at church? He said, I'm coming. And then, you know, we just never know who we meet. We don't never know when opportunities present. And I just said it not to brag, surely not to brag at all, because I felt a little guilty, because I really wanted him to poof, just go away. But some opportunities present themselves, and we know what we need to do. We need to respond to it, because we are more like Jesus when we're in that mode than any other mode, when we are helping someone who is less fortunate than we are. Number 9, we need to teach and preach the word. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, the things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men. He uses the term faithful men. It's a generic term. See, our ladies can be teachers, and we have many teachers who teach here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ who will be able to teach others also. Yeah, and we serve God. We are serving God when we teach. I don't care what age group it is, when we teach and when we preach the word of God. Yes, we're serving God. We're serving mankind, but we're serving God. And finally, number 10 is generic, but it's to use our gifts for the Lord. And that in and of itself opens up the doors for service for us in so many ways. And it does not limit us to these walls, to this place. It does not limit us to waiting on the church to put some on the calendar to be able to use our gift for the Lord. In 1 Peter 4:11, as each one has received a special gift, employed in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I read it all the time. We talk about it all the time, because it is one of the things that applies to all of us as individuals in the body of Christ. And I love it. Some of us in here, we're able to write poems and poetry. We may not kind of write a lesson. We write poems that encourage others. Someone, a couple of the sisters in here, to send me a poem. Yeah, I wrote a poem. I was just thinking I need some encouragement, and I thought you needed some encouragement, so I wanted to send you this. Please send me a poem. It brings tears to my eyes that they use their special gift to encourage somebody else. And I just wish that we could do a better job as leaders in providing ways for everybody in the church to be able to serve God in their own special way. Yeah, to use their gifts to serve God, whether it be with numbers, whether it be with computers, whether it be in athletics and sports, even some of our recreations we're good at that we can channel to be able to use to serve God. And give all the glory and all the honor to our great God in heaven. Servants, bond servants of Christ is what is the greatest calling that we could ever have. Yeah, there are subtitles, you know, there we have labels that, you know, we have elders and deacons in the church, and we have ministers. But a minister, all a minister is a servant of the church. And so to each and every one of us, especially those of you that are here tonight, that's using your gift, you keep using your gift for the Lord, no matter if you get accolade, pats on the back, your name in the bulletin or not, because God knows who is serving him. Wasn't it beautiful that we had our last baptism, we think, of 2019 this morning? What's our brother in Christ's name? Lester was baptized. But he could not necessarily be the last if there's somebody here tonight that wants to be added to the body of Christ. Do you have faith enough to believe in the word of God that Jesus came to this world and died for all of our sins? That he made the ultimate sacrifice that one day we can rest in peace with him forever and ever? Are you willing to repent of your sins, to confess Christ, to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sin? Yes, even tonight you could be added to the body of Christ. If you're here and you have a prayer request, you want us to pray for something, if you want us to pray with you on something, please come down. Come now as we stand and sing the song.
When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear him. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening.